In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Most of you have probably heard the question, what's the sound of one hand clapping? And of course, that question is an absurd question. It's intended to be an absurd question, because one hand by itself can't clap, and so there's no sound that can come from something that cannot happen. In the spiritual life, a similar question that you could ask would be, what would be the effect of repentance without a corresponding change of life? And the answer is, that's also an absurdity, because true repentance requires a change of life, or at the very least, the beginnings of repentance, which is the intention to change one's life. One might fail many times to make that change, but one has to have at least the sincere intention to make that change for repentance to exist. Repentance is not just the expression of sorrow with no intention of actually changing. Zacchaeus didn't simply tell Christ, I'm sorry that I've defrauded people, that I've become rich on the backs of the poor, and I really feel bad about that, and then go on his merry way with no intention of making any change. Instead, what he told Christ was, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken away anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. It was only then that Christ said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And when Christ said that he was a son of Abraham, he wasn't simply talking about the fact that he was a descendant of Abraham, because St. John the Baptist, when he was preaching repentance, told to the Jews, he said, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. If they wanted to be true sons of Abraham, he told them, they would have to bring forth the fruits meet for repentance. Likewise, Christ himself in the Gospels told the Jews that if they were truly the children of Abraham, they would do the works of Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith, that's certainly true, but his faith was a faith that worked. His works demonstrated his faith. And bringing forth the fruits meet for repentance means that you change both your mind and your actions when it comes to what it is that you are repenting of, and by showing forth the fruits of repentance, you're showing that your repentance is for real. Zacchaeus showed that having been illumined by Christ, he was ashamed of his sins. He was resolved to stop engaging in them. But not only that, he was resolved to make amends to those that he had harmed to the extent that it was within his power to do. Now, when we have wronged other people, there are many times that we don't have within our power to make amends. Maybe we'll never see that person again, or maybe that person's passed on, and so there's no possibility for us to make amends. We can only ask for God's mercy. Or maybe if we've robbed someone of so much money, but we have no ability to pay them back, we can't really make amends by restoring to them not even one-fold, much less fourfold, what we took from them. But to the extent that it's within our power to make amends, we should try to do so. And also, when he said, I give half of my goods to the poor, he'd already said that anyone he'd actually defrauded, he was going to restore what he had taken from them fourfold. But by giving half of his goods to the poor, he was saying that for all those people that I can't track down, for all the offenses that I've caused people, for all the time that I've lived this life of luxury unjustly, I want to make amends to my brother in the community, and I'm going to help out the poor. I'm going to go above and beyond what simple justice would require. St. Paul in his epistles, 2 Corinthians, he says, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. The sorrow of this world is merely the sorrow of someone who has been caught and it doesn't want to be punished, or the sorrow of someone who had been enjoying a life of sin and pleasure but can't do it anymore. But godly sorrow is a change of the mind and a change of direction. It's not mere regret. It's not simply ceasing to do those things that we repent of. It's the active effort to undo the results of those things, both in ourselves and those we have harmed, either directly or indirectly, by doing what is right and good and pleasing to God. Amen.